All right, 10 minutes now before 8 o'clock. Joining us right now from Washington, U.S. Senator Gary Peters. Senator Peters, good morning.
Well, good morning, Paul. Good to be with you.
I appreciate you joining us. I know you've had very long sessions there in the Senate as a juror in the impeachment trial of President Trump. Tell us a little bit about what that experience has been like thus far, those long days and all the testimony that you've been listening to.
Well, you're right, Paul. They've been very long days. We've had the presentation from the House managers who presented the articles of impeachment from the House. The president's attorneys have had their chance to make their openings. And now, starting today, is the question and answer period. So for the next 16 hours, 8 hours today, 8 hours tomorrow, senators, we'll all be able to ask questions of the attorneys presenting the cases. So, you know, my experience has been, particularly when you're looking at hearings here in Congress, is that that's probably the most productive time. That's when you can really kind of drill down to what's on our minds and hear directly answers from folks who are making those presentations. So, you know, I'm obviously going to be driven by facts, keeping an open mind as we continue to go through this process, but looking forward to the Q&A sessions that are coming up the next 2 days.
Do you have a question that you want answered?
I do. I have a number of questions. Right now, they're kind of organizing through those questions, so we're not asking the same question, all of us. And so we'll have a better sense of the question that hopefully I'll be able to answer a few, plus I'll be joining questions with some of my Senate colleagues who have similar questions. So looking forward to doing that.
Do you want to hear from witnesses, particularly John Bolton, who may very well take the witness stand at some point?
I certainly would like to hear from witnesses, and I think that's an important thing to hear from folks who have firsthand knowledge of what actually happened. We've heard a lot from both sides, but we actually have people who were in the room, and in case of Mr. Bolton, he's willing to come and testify. And you know, you just think about trials all across America today, all across Michigan today, there will be trials, and there will be witnesses in those trials that take an oath and give the facts to the jury, and the jury can then take a look at that testimony. The U.S. Senate shouldn't be any different than in any other trial happening across Michigan or across the country today, and particularly those individuals that we know have firsthand knowledge and can speak to what happened. And I would think, you know, if the president believes that these folks would help him, I would think he would want them on the stand and testifying. And if he doesn't, that says something else.
What has been the most compelling argument that you have heard from either side at this point? What's what has struck you as the most compelling bit of testimony?
Well, I think the House managers built a very, very good case. They had a great deal of testimony from other folks who were involved in the situation to kind of win through the play-by-play. And you know, there's a lot of focus just on the phone call that the president made with the president of Ukraine, but there was a lot more to that. I mean, there were hours and hours of all the backstory, and I think that's the thing that folks have to look at. The call itself raises lots of questions, but they were able to build that backstory, and we'll hear. But also raises some questions, and that's what we'll be able to flesh out. Hopefully in the question and answer period.
President Trump is going to be in Michigan tomorrow. He'll be talking about the USMCA agreement. Your thoughts on the signing of that trade agreement with Mexico and Canada?
Well, I supported the agreement. It looks a lot different than when it was initially presented to us by the president about a year ago. I was very concerned at the time that there wasn't enforcement language in the agreement. And you know, in my mind, and I think is accurate, if you don't have enforcement language in the agreement, then the agreement's really not worth anything because you can't enforce anything that's on the paper. And so we worked pretty aggressively to get that language put in, which it was, which I'm very pleased that happened. We've also increased the content of auto parts that will have to come from those three countries as opposed to Asia and other places. So I think there's some positive developments. Certainly NAFTA had to be renegotiated. There's no question about that. I would have liked to have seen more in this agreement. It's not perfect, but it's certainly a step in the right direction, and I voted for it here in the Senate.
Who would have ever thought that we'd be talking about having to help faith-based organizations, churches and the like, help to fortify their security efforts against possible attack? But we've seen it happen, and you have introduced a bipartisan bill to help those institutions provide more security. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, you're right, Paul. We did, and it actually just got signed into law by the president, so it's law now. I worked with a Republican colleague of mine from Ohio together in a bipartisan way, and you're absolutely right. It's a sad state of affairs where we have to help places of worship have security grants so that they can strengthen their security, but that's where we are. We've seen attacks on mosques and synagogues and churches. You would think that's the one place where people could go to feel safe. Unfortunately, that's not the case. I'm a ranking member on Homeland Security Committee. I work closely with the Department of Homeland Security. And for your listeners, they do provide security screening. If a place of worship would like a screening from a professional to kind of take a look at their security needs, so they will do that, and we can help coordinate that. But then when there are deficiencies or gaps found, they may not be able to afford it, and that's what this grant program is about, to provide grants to those institutions that may have a security risk. It's now been increased to $75 million across the country. It's a competitive grant. Many institutions in Michigan have received some of these in the past, and now we've increased that amount and want to make sure that our places of worship are as secure as they possibly can be. But obviously our main focus is trying to root out some of the insidious ideologies out there that are spurring these folks to attack our places of worship, which we have to do everything we can to prevent.
Senator, always appreciate your time. I know you got another busy day ahead. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning.
Always great to be with you, Paul. Take care.